Can we get back to the era where the good guy and the bad guy just hang out for a while? Like a tense golf game between Iron Man and Thanos? That would have been welcome, right? It's, middle acts exist for a reason. And there's plenty of middle in Goldfinger, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier. I'm here with two middle-level State Department employees who just want to drink and go home. It's Camila Adams.
Hello.
Robin Hitchcock.
Was middle in the cold open, was middle like a fat joke or a comment on the structure of the film?
The structure of the film.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he is oddly shaped.
Yes,
he's not, it's not that he's fat, it's that he's like an egg. He's Humpty Dumpty looking. But no, it's, I mean, you know, cold open and set up, an hour and 20 minutes of slow moving but interesting ish advancement, 5 minute resolution.
I feel like the climax of this movie is pretty dope.
Yeah, but yeah. it's blink and you'll miss it.
What? Okay. I think that maybe I'm counting more of it as the, I'm saying everything from Fort Knox on, I'm like, I'm there for it.
Burn after reading this last week. 69 and a third. The exact same score as Flashdance. Flashdance falls below it on the tiebreaker. Burn after reading wins the tiebreaker with Camila's 78. Those are our two 69s.
Nice.
Thank you. But here, we're talking about Goldfinger. We're talking about James Bond for a third time.
I can't believe it.
And our third Bond, because we started with GoldenEye, so Pierce Brosnan, and then we got a Roger Moore in Moonraker. We got a Roger Moore with another Shirley Bassey song. And here we are with kind of the big one. Robin, I feel like you know the franchise best. This is like the classic Bond movie,
it is
movie,
widely
right?
regarded as the best of the classic Bonds. Yes.
And I had seen it before and got why that was a thing. Camila, I feel like you've been the most Bond agnostic.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, GoldenEye was your first Bond, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then back and listen to our old episodes.
What was the next one that we did?
Moonraker.
Moonraker. They fell out of the sky.
Which is a ridiculous movie.
Yeah. Jaws fell in love.
I've seen enough Bond movies now to know I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Not my thing. Not for me.
I mean, I definitely don't love them. Like, the more I see of them, the more I'm like, okay, it's, yeah, sure.
There's a lot of sameness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's a formula, which I think some people find very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, then it's like, oh, they're doing this again.
Yeah, and I don't know. I guess it's just, again, it's just one of those, a certain time in space that you have to catch it in order to have started to enjoy this.
Yes.
And I feel like watching any of the Bond movies after, like, 94,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to really latch on to them, I don't think.
So I wonder if it is age 11.
Yeah.
Yes, because, like, I don't know when I must have been before 94, because it was in when we lived in Villanova. But I don't remember when I started watching James Bond movies, but I know for sure I was a child.
No,
and
that's,
yeah, they're good for kids. I mean, they're violent and every and full of sex, and but, you know.
Good for
other
kids.
Than that.
But good for kids.
Robin's babysitting service is now taking clients.
My first, like, middle school girlfriend, quote unquote. Did I talk about this on one of the previous?
I'm sure you have, but I have no idea whatever. Where this is going.
I mean, already, I wanted to watch slasher movies, and she cared about two things: Mel Brooks and James Bond.
Interesting.
And
rich tapestry.
Yeah. And you know, I was more on board for Mel Brooks, especially at 13. Come yeah. on. So I watched some of them then, and, like, even at the time, I remembered being like, these get boring in the middle. Like, every time, you know, when it starts, I'm like, and this is part of the middle act thing, which we'll get back to, but when they start, I'm like, yeah, spy fun. And usually the ending is wacky and fine. And in the middle, I'm like, we put a lot of complications and extra places he had to fly and characters that kind of went nowhere. We're just killing time.
Yeah. And like not killing him on sight when the ultimate goal is to kill him.
Which, like, there's that, you know, that famous moment. And what I'm talking about for people who don't know exactly what I mean is when he's got the crotch laser coming at him. Yeah. And James Bond is like, do you expect me to talk? And he's like, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die, okay? If you're going to just kill him, then just kill him, right. Right? Like, why walk away from the crotch laser? And also, if you're going to go so far as to bisect someone...
When you like, want to see it?
Exactly. If you're gross enough to want to bisect someone, I think you want to see it happen.
Right.
Well, I know that it's a I know that it's a cliche because of this movie and several later ones that, you know, the villain just wants to talk at him and not actually kill him, and the only thing that moves the plot is keeping him alive. I know that that's a cliche that it's like when you're watching The Shining and they say, oh, yes, the hotel was built on an ancient Indian burial ground. That wasn't cheesy yet. But even knowing that, man, nothing happens other than Goldfinger talking at him for an hour and not killing him for no reason.
Yes. I mean, James Bond is in captivity for most of this movie.
Yeah. He's really not doing a good job.
Yes.
No, I saw something online that's like, he's doing a great job being a prisoner of war. Right. At best.
Like, maybe he convinced Pussy to turn, but we didn't see it on screen.
That's my understanding of this. Well, should we get into the recap?
Yes. Yeah. Robin has been working so hard, because what happened was Camila tried to recap the plot of Practical Magic and discovered that it takes 12 minutes. And then I forgot that I had to recap the plot of Burn After Reading and discovered that that is not actually possible. And so Robin wants to right the ship, but got a chat. It's not, you know, The Little Mermaid. It's stuff happens. So she's very prepared, and we're all rooting for her and putting more pressure on by setting it up like this. Right. So
ready?
Yes.
Go.
James Bond is in Miami doing spy shit, including catching Auric Goldfinger cheating at cards. Goldfinger paints his employee that Bond just fucked Gold and she dies from it. Gold Lady's sister tries to kill Goldfinger, but Oddjob kills her with his murder hat. That famous thing with the crotch laser happens. Bond overhears plans of Operation Grand Slam at Fort Knox in the U.S. Pussy Galore and her sexy aviatrix squad gas the entire population of Kentucky. Bond figures out this is a diehard deal where Goldfinger is going to nuke the U.S. supply of gold for political reasons, but really he's doing it to make his personal dragon supply of gold more valuable. Little does he know Kentucky is not asleep because Bond galored that pussy so hard she broke good. Bond zaps Oddjob, disarms the bomb. Goldfinger escapes. Bond tries leaving on a jet plane, but Goldfinger is there and was not present for the earlier exposition about why you shouldn't shoot a gun on a plane. So he gets sucked out the window and Bond and pussy parachute to sexy safety.
Nice.
Did I do it?
Yeah, yes. 10 seconds to spare.
Woo!
Goldfinger in 50 seconds. And that's really all you need, because the only other stuff that happens is, like, gadget time with Q.
There's about 15 minutes of golf.
Oh, yeah, the golf game. I kind of loved that, though. Just, like, they're being shitty to each other, there's a little bit of quipping, a little bit of banter. I liked that scene.
I don't know, I was upset that James Bond cheats at golf.
Only in response.
This is the character flaw.
Right. Murder, sleeping around, whatever. That's his
full
prerogative.
On mugging women in face, the face.
Oh my gosh, when he sees the reflection in her eye and is like, well, I'll just use her as a shield.
Yeah.
Come on, James Bond.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow. And also, I've never been able to see anything reflect in somebody's eyeball.
You are not a movie character.
I forgot about how he straight up. I mean, he only had so many options at the time, and he was feeling very betrayed by dancer he looked at for a second.
Right. And they just like I was unclear. Like, did they already have a thing going on, or was did
I just assumed that make, he could just make?
He was just like.
Yes,
boom.
He could do you up with his eyes.
Okay, people in the room who are attracted to men.
Yes.
Okay.
Nope. Dude.
All right.
Sean Connery?
Yeah.
At this point? I guess yes.
But not on sight.
No, he's not like that.
Is he wearing that little swimming costume?
Just a lot of this is a very thigh focused movie.
As I am on record as liking those things.
Look, I am straight out of watching Cross on Prime right now. Aldis Hodge.
He's hot.
On site.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Hot guy.
I thought, to try to confine our lust to one, I think the sexiest person in there is Mai Ling.
I can't even remember who that is.
Is that the woman on the plane?
The woman on the plane.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She's got that cone bra.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Not. And this is no disrespect to Honor. What's her name?
Blackman.
That's such a weird character. One, you have to consider the name Pussy Galore every time she's present.
Also, which, it's confusing how Sean Connery says the word pussy. Pusser.
That's how I was like, is that how they got away with it? But then I did some Googling.
No, she says her name like a normal pussy.
Yeah.
What's your Googling response?
Is this in your faxies, Sean?
No.
How we got away with Pussy Galore?
No.
In 1964, well, apparently Guy Hamilton, the director, wanted to tone it down from the book and thought about changing the name to Kitty Galore.
Okay.
Because he thought the people higher ups would have a problem with that. But then he was like, you know what? Fuck it. According to an article in Esquire, the producers arranged for Honor Blackman to be at the premiere to present the film alongside the royal family. And she took a picture with Prince Philip. And the newspaper headline titled "The Prince and the Pussy" were wildly circulated, and there was no use in trying to censor the character's name for an American release. The censorship board determined that the name couldn't be that indecent if the future king himself was willing to take a photograph with the actress bringing Pussy Galore to life.
Okay. It wouldn't be so...
1964!
It wouldn't be...
I'm speechless.
It wouldn't be so embarrassing if either one were renamed. Like, Holly Goodhead is also bad, but one and a half of those are names.
Right.
But Pussy's no one's first name, and Galore is no one's second name. It's,
no. Even if, like, yeah, if we could have had, like, a funny spelling of Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Pussy.
Accent a dwat,
bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the deal with Goldfinger's name? Is that in the Faxy segment?
No.
Okay, so
pre-Faxy today.
Yes. I looked up the character because I wasn't sure what his nationality is. And so apparently he's Ian Fleming, the author of the books, named him after the architect Erno Goldfinger, who had built his home next door to Fleming's, and Fleming was grumpy about his architecture style and that he destroyed some Victorian terraces. So he's like, I'm going to name the bad guy after him as a fuck you.
I'll show him.
And then I guess that he like threatened legal action and they like came to a settlement where it was like they settled out of court in return for legal cost, 6 copies of the novel, and an agreement that the character's first name, Oryk, would always be used.
Oh, God.
I hate Ian Fleming. it's J.K. Rowling version alpha. Goldfinger was released in the United States on December 22nd of 1964. Hey, that's 60 years ago this month.
Yep.
Why, Tony?
That's why.
Big anniversary. After had a September premiere in the United Kingdom, won the last weekend of the year in the United States, but made most of its money in 1965 and won the first 6 weekends of 1965. It both took the top spot from My Fair Lady and gave it back to My Fair Lady. My Fair Lady had a run before this, came in, and My Fair Lady went back, as often happened in the 50s and 60s. $19.7 million domestically that year. The year-end charts work differently than the ones we get now. It was more what year did you make the money in? So this is the third top-grossing film of 1965, after only Mary Poppins and The Sound of Music. This was the first James Bond movie to win an Oscar.
Oh! Did they have a special visual effects?
No.
Sound?
Closer.
Sound effects editing.
Best sound effects.
Okay,
was the award.
I did write down in my notes, great sound design.
Yeah, that's at this point, there was a blanket best sound, and there was a best sound effect that usually only had two nominees.
I see.
So this beat the one other nominee, the Lively Set.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. It was not nominated in the big best sound. That was more for like...
music.
For music. My Fair Lady won previous episode subjects, Mary Poppins and the unsinkable Molly Brown were both nominated. What am I? Oh, yeah. Speaking of the Oscars, visual effects.
Also, wait, you didn't say expensive baubles.
Expensive baubles.
And I haven't been able to use that sound clip in quite some time.
We are now in the expensive baubles section.
Thank you. Okay.
Having already covered that one, I have lots because I want to tell you what Oscars James Bond has won. Thunderball came out the following year and won visual effects.
Okay.
And that would be the last Oscar.
Until Skyfall?
Until Skyfall.
Wow.
Took sound editing and song. Spectre and No Time to Die have also won Best Original Song. This movie did not. In fact, it wasn't nominated.
Rude.
Shirley Bassey's Goldfinger not nominated for Best Original Song. I have a whole podcast to say about Bond songs, but we'll push through this first. Chim Chim Cheree won from our
what a weird
beloved Mary
like
Poppins.
The like fifth or sixth best song in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, we probably talked about this on the Mary Poppins episode, but give it to Step in Time. Mary Poppins was on ABC on Thanksgiving night, like a big, you know, lush presentation of Mary Poppins for 3 or 4 hours on Thanksgiving night. And we stay in a hotel near Mary Beth's parents. So I had it on and she did Feed the Birds. And I was like, perfect. And I turned it off and rolled over to go to sleep and apparently immediately started snoring very, very loudly because the next thing that happened was Mary Beth waking me up 3 times over the course of the next hour. Did not have the Poppins moment. Chim Chim Cheree won. The other nominees were theme songs for movies I've never heard of. Dear Heart, Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte.
Heard of that
Betty
one.
Betty Davis.
Yeah.
Where Love Has Gone, and Frank Sinatra singing My Kind of Town from his film Robin and the Seven Hoods.
Sure.
Those are the nominees, and no one heard Goldfinger and went, sure, yeah, that could be.
That's insane.
That is not reasonable.
Even so, the album was the number one album in America for 3 weeks in 1965, in between long runs of the Mary Poppins soundtrack being the top album. The song did hit the top 10, peaked at number 8. A few quick random facts. Oh, you remember the bit about where he's like, wait a minute, buddy, it would take you 12 days to empty out Fort Knox.
Yes.
That set up the Die Hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the book. That was correcting the common criticism of the book.
Oh!
Ian Fleming's just a dumbass, as previously established, and just wrote that, yeah, you could clear out Fort Knox while everyone takes a little nap. Oh, and so, since it got criticized for that, they fixed it for the movie. Good job. Speaking of popular things, Corgi Toys made a model of Bond's car from this movie that became the biggest selling Christmas toy of 1964. This was the
Cabbage Patch Kid
of the beginning of James Bond merchandise. Gert Fröbe, who plays Goldfinger, dubbed. That was not his voice.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Didn't really speak much English. He tried to say his lines phonetically. Wasn't working. TV actor Michael Collins dubbed for him. You can hear his real voice a little bit when James Bond is looking through the model in the uh-huh. bottom. That's the only time you heard.
Cool model.
Very cool model.
But so, that's wild. Again, good sound editing, mm-hmm. because I absolutely did not notice that.
Yeah.
Don't feel too bad for Gert, a literal Nazi. He was a member of the Nazi Party for several years. Allegedly, he left before the war. For a while, his films were banned in Israel. Somebody came out and said, no, he was outraged. He left. He sheltered my grandparents in his basement during the war.
That doesn't sound like a Nazi thing to do.
And yet, card-carrying member of the Nazi Party.
Yeah.
So instead, let's talk about...
1964.
Right. Let's talk about Toshiyuki Harold Sakata playing Oddjob. Hawaiian-born to Japanese-American parents, silvered in weightlifting at the 1948 Olympics.
Magnificent.
Before beginning his professional wrestling career, successful wrestler both in Japan and with the NWA all over the country in the 1950s under the name Tosh Togo, mostly teaming with the Great Togo, and he was discovered as a wrestler. The producers saw him wrestling and thought... There's our guy.
They weren't wrong. Yeah. He brings so much charisma to that role.
He's so good in, like, I just want more of him.
When he crushes the golf ball, best part of the extended golf cheating sequence.
And every little, like, you've hit me, I give you a nod. Now I destroy
you. Does he talk ever?
I don't know. I mean, in life, I assume.
I meant the character Oddjob.
Does Oddjob keep coming back?
I'm pretty sure he does come back, even though he appeared electrocuted.
Oh, and he was legitimately electrocuted.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he got a bad electrical burns in that scene, no one noticed at first because he refused to let go of the hat. Oh, he just kept acting and holding on to the hat. What a champ. Even though, of everything in this movie, which is repeated in Austin Powers, the one I can't look at him without thinking, who throws a shoe, honestly?
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
An Iraqi journalist threw his shoes at Bush, shouting, "Here is your goodbye kiss, dog."
The thing I kept thinking about, and I was wondering, like, how many clips am I going to put in, is the Hank Scorpio episode of The Simpsons.
I don't expect anything from you except to die and be a very cheap funeral. You're going to die now.
I was also thinking of The Simpsons, but I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking of Homer's Max Power song.
Max Power, he's the man whose name you'd love to touch, but you mustn't touch.
Just put in all of those and who throws a shoe.
Throwing shoes is a deep insult and traditional sign of disrespect and contempt in Arab culture.
His name sounds good in your ear, but when you say it, you mustn't fear, 'cause his name can be said by anyone.
And now we'll move on. I'll try to confine this, but my side project on this episode, I listened to all the Bond songs. And they're bad. They're not good.
Excuse me. Tina Turner one?
Yes, and it's amazing.
That one's
good. Duran Duran one?
And a good garbage one.
Yeah.
There's so much is made of these, and if you actually sit down and listen to them, they're not very good. I would argue they're not very good to this day. They're just really samey. A lot of the times it feels like they were dashed off in 5 minutes.
Are you saying like the lyrics are simplistic?
That is true.
Because I can feel that.
The lyrics often have nothing to do with anything and do that thing where they awkwardly work the word Goldeneye or Goldfinger or Moonraker or whatever into the song in a way that does not work. But, you know, when they did like a tribute to Bond music at the Oscars a couple of years ago, and they just did Goldfinger and then the new one. Because between that, they're like, let's not bother.
Hang on. Okay. My brain is reeling.
I have a top five. I have a top five.
With other bangers, right?
Here's my top five.
Okay.
You've named most of them.
Live and Let Die.
Duran Duran is number five. Great. View to a Kill. Just a normal Duran Duran song. A good Duran Duran song with a little James Bond stuff in it. Absolutely works. Four, I would go.
They do such a good job with the like dee 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 bits.
I would go Nobody Does It Better.
Nobody Does It Better.
Carly Simon
good.
At number four. I forget which movie that's even from.
Me too, but it doesn't matter.
just a good, memorable single. Has nothing to do with James Bond or the style of James Bond songs, but sure, we'll give him that one. I'd put Tina Turner at three. That's also one where the songwriting is not really the thing. She just Tina Turner's all over the place well.
She doesn't need good songwriting.
Carly's was Spy Who Loved Me.
She does sing the Spy Who Loved Me awkwardly in the middle there.
it's like St. Elmo's Fire.
Right. Number two, Billie Eilish. This is the only Bond song ever that I like put in my normal playlist.
Okay.
I didn't know she did one.
She did the most recent one.
Oh, it was her first Oscar.
Her first Oscar win.
Bless her soul.
And obviously Goldfinger at number one.
Okay.
And beyond that, here's the thing about Live and Let Die.
Okay.
That song's a fucking mess.
What?
Like,
it's a masterpiece of a mess.
It's no 30 seconds of that song are related to any other 30 seconds of that song.
As was the style at the time. Also, Skyfall?
Didn't you two do one?
No. It feels like they would have.
Yeah.
Here, Skyfall, like most Adele songs, is fucking boring. I get it. You're sad.
Wow.
I mean, I don't like Adele. I don't know. I can only really like two Adele songs.
Rolling in the Deep and Hello?
No, not even those.
Rumor has it.
Yeah.
Banger.
That's my jam.
Yeah, it's fine.
Sean, you have wrongness.
Those are my top five. Maybe Live and Let Die would be number six. Maybe that Sheena Easton one would be number six. But
oh, the Sheena Easton one too! Sean, you're just...
Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
Nope.
Damn, Robin is hardcore.
When you listen to them all, particularly the earlier ones, where there were not a lot of bangers in the first 10, okay. You're like, I don't know about this.
Also, you said something about the Oscars doing a thing, because what I remember is Shirley Bassey performing in, like, probably for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, they presented, like, and now, Bond music.
Yeah.
But it was just Shirley Bassey and Adele.
Yeah,
there great. Wasn't, like, a...
Okay.
It feels like you would rule of three that if you could have another one that would work.
All right. Yeah. I just remember that. I mean, again, this was one of the Oscars that I watched at 3 a.m. and I remember like transcending. And also, you know, I'm weird about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wanted to like Aha, but no, it's not.
Aha did one?
Aha did the one after Duran Duran.
That's a
Living
odd
Daylight
choice,
I think.
That sounds true.
Yeah.
It's an odd choice to like bring Aha out to do a Bond.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of odd choices.
At the time, we
Chris
didn't
Cornell
know,
was an odd
right?
choice.
It's like, are these going to be the next Beatles, right? Mm-hmm. That's the fun.
I don't think Aha was ever.
Speaking of which, welcome to an era where you could get away with mainstream Beatles slander.
Okay, so
wild.
I loved that moment. I literally was like, wait, did he just make fun of the Beatles? Because my spiciest take is that the One Direction and the Beatles are equivalent. And
what? How?
Because they're boy bands who were wildly popular, making great music, and at the time were denigrated as girl stuff, and this is proof.
We're going around. Now you say something wrong about music. I said the Bond thing.
And they made their most interesting stuff after breaking up.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch that boy band documentary?
No. No, I didn't.
Because it's just, you know, the type. That's what we do every 5 years. We get a boy band and whatnot ever since the Beatles or whatever. So, I mean, One Direction, though? Really?
Yeah. Also British.
I don't know. Do they play instruments?
I don't really know, but did the Beatles?
Girl.
Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
Now, I'm not a Beatles stan, but yeah. I will not accept Beatles slander.
No, I'm sorry. I should be respecting at least George Harrison. And also,
John Lennon.
Yeah.
John Lennon. McCartney, whatever. He's done all of... He loses a lot of points for the fucking Christmas song, but...
No!
Oh, there we go. That's Camila's wrong opinion.
That song is good.
Yes. Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time?
A.K.A. Can I Make Up a Christmas Song on the Spot?
Yes,
the snow
did,
is that, there.
That
the moon
was,
is a thing.
It was wicked.
Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
All right, this isn't a music podcast for obvious reasons.
Anyway,
Q Wings.
Yes.
Here's the trailer.
He's the idol of every woman, the envy of every man, the nemesis of the treacherous Mr. Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, a triumph in thrill-making cinema entertainment.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
Come and purr over Honor Blackman as Pussy Galore. Also starring Gert Frober as Goldfinger. International cheat, international menace. Goldfinger, the man with a finger in every pie. His goal, Fort Knox, the world's biggest bank. His enemy, 007, the world's wiliest, toughest gentleman agent with a license to kill. 007, it spells Bond. James Bond. Mixing business with girls and thrills. Girls and fun. Girls and danger. The hotter the danger, the cooler he takes it.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration. Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to
buy. Trailer's too long and has all the good stuff.
All of the good
stuff.
The man
with a finger in every pie.
That that's not Goldfinger. That's Bond. That's,
anyway. I don't like how it goes 007 and then tries to transition it into Bond, yeah. And then it looks like it says boo.
007 spells Bond. Mixing business with girls and thrills. Girls and fun.
They say girls in danger. So many times. Not good.
1964.
It was the style at the time. And your letterbox list was a very interesting one. It's called Firsts in the History of Cinema. It is a list of the first whatever, going back to like the first known pictures combined to make a film, the first color, the first Western in color, the first, all the way up to the current day, just things that have been established to be the first. And Goldfinger is on there as the first depiction of GPS in a film.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because when he's got the little map in his car, I was like, I know what that is.
Wow, the homework that whoever did on this on that list.
It's an impressive one. So this movie's fine. It's. I want a full spin-off about the little old lady who works the gate at Goldfinger's factory.
Love
and has
it.
A machine gun.
So what do we think about her? Is she like? Is she an employee of Goldfinger? Or like, does she work for the... Are they in Switzerland?
I think they're in Switzerland.
Okay, does she work for the Swiss government? What is going on with her?
I mean, my headcanon is that she's like the old man from Up, and she just had the house next to where he was building the factory. And they were like, you can keep it as long as you work the gate. And she was so grateful that she is now willing to shoot anyone who gets in Goldfinger's way.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So the skin suffocation.
Yeah. Is that real?
Yes.
Because, really?
That is a thing. Because there was like something, I think that's an urban legend about the original Tin Man in Wizard of Oz.
I thought it was just like, I thought the urban legend about him, and again, I have no idea if it's true, was that he just got like poisoned by the ingredients.
I don't know, somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a mess, but yes.
I thought he inhaled the dust and was like choking.
This is what is, you could tell it's an urban legend because we're like.
No, I heard it this
you
way.
You say Bloody Mary 15 times.
Right. So yeah, my question is first, like that was a meticulous paint job for one. How long did that take? Why didn't we just kill Bond at that moment instead of just knocking him out? And how did we know that he wasn't going to wake up at any point in time while he's doing this meticulous paint job to suffocate this poor woman to death through her skin?
Well, I was imagining an airbrush situation to make it go faster.
It's so thick, though.
So, yeah, I mean, think about you airbrush paint onto a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it still seems misty. It's,
yes, I mean, listen, there's a million why don't they just kill James Bond right now?
Oh, there's so many.
I also just really like the idea of you're so mad at your employee for giving up you. Like, what was she supposed to do?
I mean, certainly not fuck him.
Pretty sure that wasn't in the list of, that wasn't in her agenda.
Right. Like, what's in the job description?
I mean, he blamed her for losing him this big old bet.
Yeah, I guess I did write down, it was like $150,000.
Before or after inflation?
After inflation, yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's a lot of money, but not enough to murder somebody with paint.
This is a man that cares little for life and death.
He loves only God.
But a very equal opportunity employer. All of his pilots are women. Everyone else is Korean. This is a man who will work with you.
Yeah.
I mean, work with him before you work for MI6 in this outfit. And the Tin Man's makeup originally contained an aluminum powder, which got into the original actor's lungs.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Clearing that important fact about Goldfinger.
Thank you. In this eve of, or I don't know, this season of Wicked right now, I guess that's important. That could be important to some people.
Yeah, we'll get around to Wicked. This is the second act thing that I was talking about earlier on. I love the opening. This is the one that established, like, we begin with a mostly unrelated mission.
Yes.
Just doing, here's 10 minutes of fun James Bond stuff.
Just doing his job.
Love that. The setup was fine. I was on board through the golf game, and then just going around in circles until we get to a climax that's pretty brief. You know, including Tiffy Masterson, the entire...
Tilly. Jill and Tilly those parents name their children.
The entire character who is introduced into this movie, captured, and everyone goes, shame, and moves the fuck on.
Yeah. She's a woman, Sean. Who the fuck cares what happens to her?
Expendable. But there's 20 more of her, where that came
but
from.
But then we meet Pussy Galore immediately after that. So it's like, well, then why didn't you just combine those characters a little bit?
I genuinely thought that Tilly was Pussy until she disappeared.
Until she wasn't.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've seen this film before. Mm-hmm. But also, Tilly, if you're going to try to engage in, you know, dissembling about your identity, don't bring your monograph briefcase.
Sean Connery is great. I think we can agree. Having, now that we've done three Bonds on the podcast,
yeah,
it's
his world.
As Carly Simon said, nobody does it better.
Yeah.
It's the combination of complete deadpan and honestly dad jokes.
Yeah.
Like, he's so smooth and delivers these awful jokes so perfectly. You're like, oh, yeah, I would sleep with you right now. He just knows the character, and he doesn't. It's not over the top. It's all this like judo awkward punching. You know, he's perfect.
Yeah,
he's perfect. So, Robin, you have so many things written down.
Yeah. I do. Well, I was, you know, I knew that I was going to have to record several days later.
Mm.
I did write down that the thing about the weight of gold made me think about the movie Three Kings. And then I wished I were watching Three Kings. That was probably during the boring part that you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Will you be watching Three Kings at any point later?
I mean, no, I feel like I've got so many. Well, we'll talk about it. Screener anxiety is real.
Yeah.
Right.
You got your Oscar
thing
to get through. You got like a good head start now, like on your own.
That's right. Yes. Why does this say champagne loaded? What do we think that means?
I mean,
he was talking about champagne when old girl in the beginning, when he was getting ready to, or after.
Before the painting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he was like getting real specific, like 1953 Dom Perignon.
Yeah.
It wasn't the right temperature that he went into the kitchen to.
Oh, that's really stupid and annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably why I wrote it down. And then I also wrote down, gold bars could never fucking break a lock unless it was made of butter.
That's true.
Yes.
That did seem very unnecessary.
Yes.
Before we got to the countdown clock, which only ticks when it is observed.
Yes. And ends on 007. Cute,
yeah.
Cute, cute.
Yeah, cute.
I also, watching this with my father-in-law was just overall fantastic. He had so much to say during that golf game.
Well, yeah, like you watched it with the appropriate audience.
Right, yes. A white
the
boomer.
Intended, yes. The intended audience. How did he enjoy it?
Oh, he loved it. He remembered loving it as a kid, and he was having the time of his life watching it the other day.
So this is
Boomer bait.
Yeah, so this is something he hadn't like watched again after.
I'm sure he's probably like he didn't, you know, start talking about how, you know, every Christmas I watch the marathon, yeah, right?
Right.
Or anything like that. So
It turns out I gave GoldenEye, which does really feel like a deliberate, like, we're going to do a good one again. Remember when they had the word gold at the front?
Thank God we had previously done an episode on GoldenEye, or I would never have been able to remember which one we were doing for this.
I still got it wrong several times. Turns out I gave that a 69.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is better than that. So I'm complaining about it a lot, but it's fun. It's one of the, I don't know, 72.
I'm going to go 75.
30.
I gave
GoldenEye like 27 or something.
Yeah.
Not here for this nonsense.
Yeah.
I do wonder what you would think of the new era, the Daniel Craig.
I think you
I'm
might
sure
like,
we'll find out.
Yeah, I think you might like those a bit more.
Probably.
You know, there's so many movies out there that you should see first. So unless Tony forces your hand or, you know. But I do want to say, I kind of thought about going higher than 75. I didn't enjoy this movie more than a 75, so I went there. But, like, I really do think that some of what's going on here is that the thing you were saying about, like, at the time, this was not a cliche.
Right.
Right? So I feel like that last bit is such good action mm-hmm. in a way that we are, you know, we've seen the people who stood on these giant shoulders.
Right?
So... Mm-hmm. I respect this movie a lot more than I enjoyed it, but I also enjoyed it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, it's gross about women. Duh.
Listen, he's just so sexy.
He can't help it.
That in spite of his noticeable back hair, everyone, it's literally impossible to resist him.
Sometimes hair is... just sexy, no matter where it is.
Back hair. 59 is our average score. And let me preempt the next episode. Moonraker was 34 2/3. That's not a good one. GoldenEye was 57 2/3. So yes, this is our favorite Bond. Mm. Despite Camila's, I think it was your favorite Bond. You gave Goldeneye a 27.
Yeah, what did I give Moonraker?
You gave Moonraker a 22.
Yep,
so
there
you're
it is.
Big yep. jump. Big yep. jump yep. for Goldfinger. Yep. 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 To the bingo card, the title contains part of the human body.
Hey, sweet.
The titular Goldfinger, and with that, bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All
yay! Yeah. What do I get? It's so late in the year.
I'm pretty sure you're just getting a veto.
Oh, okay.
Have you won a bingo on your own yet this year?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Double check.
All right.
I'll take a veto. Can I unveto when Camila vetoes Terrifier 3 in 20 minutes? Can I unveto
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not.
We'll see what happens. So, if you wonder why Camila and Robin are making more references to screeners and awards, it's because we started the Pittsburgh Film Critics Association.
We're legit now.
This year. And so finally...
Look at me now, Dad.
It's not just me showing up here in November and December going, who wants this screener? Who wants that screener?
And not so much like Sean being like, listen, in 2 months, you are all going to see this movie. And me and Camila being like, okay. Right. Now the three of us get to tell our listeners, listen, in 2 months, you'll get to right. see this movie.
Exactly. But follow along. Look for... Pittsburgh Film Critics Association on Blue Sky and maybe certainly Twitter, but I don't think we're doing anything anymore. Maybe Facebook. The point is, in about 2 months, we're going to put out our first awards, and that's very exciting. In the meantime, we're all watching movies.
So many movies.
Where to begin?
Well, I feel like we should start with Glicked.
Oh, right, because the last time we recorded, we were en route to see Gladiator 2
yes.
together, and then we did, and it's right. pretty good.
I really liked it. I am surprised how much it just doesn't exist because of the onslaught of Wicked mm-hmm. and Moana 2. First of all, I think that the original Gladiator is a good movie, which I think a lot of people our age disagree with.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, so thank you. This movie is not as good as Gladiator, but, like, it's a pretty fun time at the movies.
I mean... I'm telling you, right, like, yeah, 90% of my enjoyment is Denzel.
Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period.
Yes.
Give him the Oscar. I don't care what other people do.
Right.
It's just...
Seriously.
There are so many... Every time he speaks, it's a symphony.
Yep. Yes!
Even when nothing's happening.
Right.
The best line in this movie is, I own your house.
Yes!
And, bro, like, I know... I'm in mixed company and everything, and you might want to have to bleep this out, but when he shows up on screen, when he is introduced onto camera, he says nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most magnificent thing, this entrance, and all I can hear is my nigga. Like, yes, Denzel, yes, bring mm-hmm. it.
I'm not bleeping that out. Speak your truth.
Yeah. Oh,
he's amazing.
Which... is very necessary because I like Paul Mescal. He is not carrying this movie.
No,
bless his heart.
The twins are great. The twin emperors.
Oh my God.
My new baby, Fred Hettinger.
And the other one who's been in more movies is named...
I don't know.
You know, no, that's a guy. What's his name? There's two emperors, and they're...
Every time they were on screen, I was only looking at my new little precious baby boy.
Joseph, whatever, from Stranger Things? Are you talking about?
Yes.
That? Ah, him.
Yes, and from Quiet Place Part 1.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he was great in that also. Joseph Quinn.
Mm-hmm. Still in my top 5 movies of the year. Hang it on.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get that across anybody's nominations list, but it was really good.
Was
anyway,
so good.
Yeah, to me, Gladiator 2's flaws are that it's just really cheesy and tacky and cliched when it's trying to have a plot.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when...
What do you expect?
Yeah, when that's just to get us back into the arena, and when we do, it's great.
The
fight a rhinoceros,
sharks,
the rhinos.
Sharks. Yeah,
and I couldn't stop thinking about how did we fill this arena with water?
Doesn't matter.
They did that. That's I don't know if they had sharks, but they really did naval battles in the arena.
I think I read. I think Dan looked it up. Like there mm-hmm. were no sharks yeah, at this point in time.
But listen, yeah, sharks inappropriately in Europe is a big theme of cinema this year mm-hmm. with Under Paris and this, and I'm into it.
Yeah, but Gladiator 2, positively worth the price of admission.
And I'm just
Denzel.
I want Denzel and, Washington to be having that much fun at all times.
Yeah. And I want him to start wearing that those costumes.
Yes.
Like all the time. Like that's mm-hmm. this. I need you to live your life now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is now your personality.
I mean, who among us is a Roman emperor, if not Denzel Washington, walking the earth today? Which Piano Lesson isn't going to win Best Picture, but if it did, he could win two Oscars. He could win Best Producer, he could win Best Picture as producing The Piano Lesson, and win Best Supporting Actor.
I still haven't watched The Piano Lesson because I keep being like, I have to give this 100%
same.
Attention.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched mm-hmm. it yet
yes.
either.
That's also very good. Gladiator 2 is good. It's better than Wicked, right?
Not my take. I am very interested to hear your take on Wicked, Sean, because I haven't read your review because I wanted to come in kind of fresh, but I did see your low rating on Letterboxd.
Ooh.
So what's your beef with Wicked?
Camila, have you seen Wicked?
No, nope, I have no plans on
watching. Yeah, I was going to say, do you care about Wicked?
No, okay. go for it.
This is between us. You know, remember when you were really upset at Spider-Man?
I sure do.
About being half a movie?
Yes.
This is even more half a movie than Spider-Man Ooh. Was half a movie.
I felt like Spider-Man was more half a movie because this one ended, right? Spider-Man was we've run out.
It ended, but it ended with, and now we have established what this story is about. Goodbye.
Sure. Wicked, you mean?
Wicked,
yes.
Did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, goodbye with, you know, one of the all-time great act break numbers is very different than to be continued.
Well, sure. So, in other words, you set up another long movie I have to watch a year from now that is the part where things are bad and it doesn't have that song in
yes.
it, presumably?
So, right. I mean, listen, I am 100% with you. My big feeling when Wicked ended was, I want to watch the rest right now, which to me means pretty good movie.
Yeah. Or you were left unsatisfied.
Well,
yeah.
I guess
you were left with blue balls.
I did kind of feel that way. And I suspect Wicked Part 2 is going to suck. I mean, you know, I'm happy to be wrong if I am. But, like, I really enjoyed, and I've never listened to the musical or seen the musical, so this was all new to me.
Oh, me too.
And I was in. They won me over. I am not a musicals person. And I started to care. That seems like a miracle to me.
Let's talk about that musical. That's the fourth longest running musical in the history of Broadway.
Really?
So as of right now, they have performed it 8,176 times.
Are you giving me a hard time for not having seen it yet?
No.
Okay.
I haven't seen it either. But on all of those 8,176 times, they have told this whole ass story.
Yeah.
In 2 hours and 45 minutes with a 15-minute intermission.
Yeah.
So 2 hours and 30 minutes total. This movie we just watched is 2 hours and 40 minutes, so more time
yeah.
to get to intermission.
Yeah. And there are absolutely scenes where I'm like, guys, the clock is ticking.
It is, other than The Hobbit, which is the worst example
yes.
of this ever, this is the most egregious. We have no business turning this into more than one story. It is clearly one story, but we want to get another ticket
yeah.
price out of you.
Yeah.
And
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah. But those at least were big books. Again, they're telling the whole story in 2.5 hours
yeah.
every single night and twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
You can do it. You just chose not to. And what resulted is this Wicked is slow as shit. When it's not, you know, it has a couple scenes that are great. When Cynthia Erivo sings, it's always great. And in between, we wander the fuck around. And I don't think John Chu did a good job with it either, because he was, and I think he did a great job adapting in The Heights. But in this, it really feels like he doesn't know what to shoot because nothing's happening. Mm-hmm. And we're just wandering around these scenes.
I mean, I feel like we saw different movies because I'm like, think about that scene where there's the rotating bookcases.
That was good.
I'm like, that is a fucking rock solid musical number.
You've covered four of the 140
okay, sure.
minutes. 160 minutes.
And Popular also to me was the highlight of the movie. I loved the costumes in this
costumes
movie
are great.
So much. Mm-hmm. And I thought Ariana Grande was incredible. Cynthia Erivo, obviously, like, she's, I already knew she was a great actor, right?
Right.
So I wasn't like, I feel kind of bad being like, Ariana Grande's a tour de force. And like,
but you're just like, I mean, we knew.
But we can't. It was. Like, and Cynthia Erivo in this movie also, like, it's less of a showy part, right? Mm-hmm. And she doesn't totally get to bust out her singing chops until the end, right?
That's
like, the
true.
Ballad is probably the most boring part of the entire mm-hmm. movie. But yeah, Ariana Grande, amazing. Nailed it. Incredible.
I think she was great at acting. The singing.
Okay.
She was popular. She did a good job. But some of the including the opening number, where she has to go really high and really musical theater. I thought she didn't have it.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is based on the Broadway musical. Why is there so much confusion that I'm seeing on the internet about people like, don't take your kids. Why are you mistaking this? And why do you're going to get wrong. You're going to get it wrong. And it's not what you think it is.
What? It's absolutely a movie for children.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to be terrified of the flying monkeys, but weren't we all?
What about the book? Is this an adaptation of the book?
Yes. The musical is an adaptation of a book.
Yeah.
So this is like.
I tried to get through the book. I could not get through the book.
I don't read.
I don't understand.
I mean, maybe it's long. Like if you think, oh, I'm going to take my 5-year-old and they're not going to pay attention for 2 hours and 40 minutes. Right. So that could be it. But it's very all ages. Other than some scary flying monkeys, it's very talky. Like there's not a lot of action.
I'm like hearing it like your kids are going to be scarred kind of thing.
Yeah. I was terrified during the flying monkeys business, but. Every person alive today.
Flying monkeys, yes. The monkeys on the motorcycles and the whiz. The monkeys are, that's their point.
Right, yes. This is part of the human condition.
Upon every generation, there must be one.
We're just going in a round table now. Camila, toss something, or were you not done with
it? I just really quickly wanted to say, I saw it in the Screen X format, which is a thing I did not know existed. And, including after buying the ticket for this movie, and then when the credits began and the walls became part of the movie, I was like,
wild.
What? Doesn't really work. Wouldn't seek it out again, but I am glad that I experienced it.
Interesting.
Yes.
What did I see in D-Box? D-Box is making a comeback. That's where the seat moves. It like...
Tingler.
Yes. No, it's a lot more than the tingler. Like, you feel at the beginning it rise up, and then all throughout it's like...
That sounds like it would make me sick.
What did I even see with it? Maybe it was Red One? I think it was Red One. So, like, if his sleigh is flying, you feel like you're flying. It's okay.
No.
It's, anything to get people back to the theater. But they sure are back to the theater. The biggest Thanksgiving weekend in box office history between Moana 2, Wicked, and Gladiator.
Something for everybody in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll just keep going in a circle this time.
Okay. I saw the TV glow.
I'm not the
audience for that. I didn't enjoy it.
I've been waiting for the right. I had a ticket at one point. I found in my email a receipt that I bought and then couldn't go for some reason. But
I am not the audience. Heretic loved it. It falls apart a little bit.
Yes,
like the plot falls apart, and also like very early on, you're like, they don't really have a choice. Like this is like null. This is kind of null and void of what you're trying to do, what you're trying to prove. But Hugh Grant, amazingly creepy and. Wow, I would like to see him in more roles like this, like the gentleman. Did you guys see the gentleman?
No,
no.
Oh, well, he plays like what do they call it? Like a handsome cunt, basically.
Okay,
he's not creepy, but he's a jerk. It's a really good against type role of his normal ballywhack.
Camila is here earning our explicit tag.
Yes.
So I would absolutely see that. I want to watch it again, and I would recommend you see that. I watched The Family Stone for the first time. That sucks.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
Sarah Jessica Parker. Yeah.
Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
I want to say Coach.
Yes.
Absolutely one of those movies that I would not know if I've seen
Wilson.
It until 45 minutes into it.
People are going home for Thanksgiving and they have family problems and they have feelings.
Okay. Watch Home for the Holidays.
And there's like a family, swap partners kind of thing. It's just stupid.
Yeah, no, I don't think I have.
Saturday Night, I watched that. That was fun. It's very chaotic. Like going into it, and I get it, we're really immersed in what it was like on that first night that Saturday Night Live was going to air and whatnot. And, did a great job of that. So it took me a minute to lean into that. Cause it's like, I don't know, what am I paying attention to? What am I looking at? Who am I listening to? What's going on? And then I was a little overstimulated, and then I finally settled in and enjoyed everybody's impression of SNL actors. Which is basically what it is. It's just, we're just, not that they didn't do good jobs. I didn't necessarily learn anything new other than the Garrett Morrison.
Garrett Morris.
That he was an opera singer.
What?
Yeah. And he was like a playwright. Mm-hmm. And like he did all this other like really dramatic theatrical stuff before.
Isn't he like a fairly compact man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did he get the lungs to be an opera singer?
No idea. But yeah. So apparently that was his thing.
And the guy who plays him in this movie looks exactly like him. Name is Morris. Not related.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Yeah. Guy from this girl, that girl. Mm-hmm. Zooey Deschanel.
Not exactly like, he doesn't look exactly, but he looks enough. He looks enough like him that when you see that person's last name is Morris, it's like, oh, I guess this is his son.
Right.
Nope.
Just he was great on New Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our little secret Christmas movie. I watched with my sister the other night, Carrie Elway's Brooke Shields.
I saw that it got I know that you are doing this project mostly out of love for your sister. Mm-hmm. But I saw in your letterbox this one hit a little bit worse than the others.
Yeah, like, you know what? Like I said before, like, I am willing to give these Christmas rom-coms a lot of leeway. But this one, it was like, there were script pages missing or something. And they just went to film anyway. There's like, fuck it. And just went on. And Cary Elwes, he's like phoning it in the whole time. Yeah, it's not even like a fun cheese ball just to put it on in the background. Nope, don't do it.
Can you like do an exchange? Like, after this Christmas project is over, can you be like,
Saw franchise run 1 through 10?
There's absolutely no way. My sister's too much of a Christian to do that.
Yeah, it's a shame. People seem to like that best Christmas pageant ever. That's in theaters now with Judy Greer. I'm not going, sounds like it'd be good for the two of you.
Yeah. Also, I just mixed up two Christmas movies.
It's easy to do.
Our Little Secret is Lindsay Lohan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Her lead guy, no charisma, no character. There's no chemistry whatsoever. That's why that was such a low rating. And everything else goes for the Carrie Elway's Brooke Shields one, which was A Castle for Christmas.
Oh, boy.
Carrie Elway's with an unnecessary Scottish accent.
Ah. Ooh.
That's it.
I watched Conclave.
Ooh. Yes.
I liked it a whole lot.
Isn't
it's I think I liked it more than most people. I gave it like a 9 out of 10.
Really?
Because the cast is great. And if you're just a well put together thing of mysteries and people arguing, I'm like, I don't have anything I can take points away for. Right. Like, I'm not going to say this is a masterpiece, but it's just so satisfying and interesting and compelling and well acted that I'm like, there's nothing wrong with this movie.
It is totally a movie that, like, when I saw it, I was like, okay, you know, good movie, 4 stars. But then, like, I won't stop thinking about it or talking. Like, I keep recommending it even to normies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, especially if you're Catholic. Oh my gosh. So, yeah, it's going up. It's
rising.
Its stock is rising, yes.
Yeah. Ralph Fiennes is great. Stanley Tucci is great. John Lithgow is great.
Nice.
He's so well cast. And Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Wow.
It's wearing no makeup because she's a nun.
Oh, wow.
She's just that beautiful.
I know. They're like, who can probably be put in there?
Holy moly.
That will be able to pull it off with a...
And... Double checking the embargo. Am I safe? Nosferatu
yes,
is the
safe.
Number one movie of the year.
Really?
Obviously.
Of course, Sean thinks
of
it.
Of course, I think Nosferatu is the number one movie of the year. I do think this is the most successful Robert Eggers. Have you seen any of them?
I have fallen asleep during The Northman like 5 times.
Worst of the four.
I very much enjoyed The Vavitch and Lighthouse.
This is more like those two with a much higher budget and kind of everything going right. I am sure there will be. Camila, are you a fan?
Well, I'm a fan of him. He's a handsome bloke.
Who? Bill Skarsgård?
Robert Eggers
himself?
Yes.
I am saying his name right, because there's the other one that writes the books. That's Dave Eggers. Yes, Robert Eggers does the movies.
I think I always, like Robin, I've fallen asleep several times on The Northman.
Northman's not great.
The Witch... I enjoyed, but that's the only one I've seen.
He wants to do over-the-top spooky stuff, and he finally got all the money that he wanted and a big budget and every actor he loves, except Anya Taylor-Joy, oddly, because she's like his girl. But I think it's the best Dracula.
Wow.
Really?
I mean, maybe the Werner Herzog Nosferatu. I would have a tough time picking between those two. But
I don't know this.
It's every part of the normal Dracula story just done like really spooky and really over the top and really, really well shot. I just loved it. This is ready made for me. Even Mary Beth, who also loves horror movies, was not nearly as glowing on it as I was, probably because it is very slow and methodical.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like his stuff, and if you like slow burn, not boring slow burn like Skinamarink, slow burn where it's building to something, horror movies, ooh, make your plans for Christmas Day to go see Nosferatu. Anything else, Robin?
Yeah, Emilia Perez, which I saw you also gave... What you gave it some stars. This is one of those movies that I feel like I will describe to people in 5 years and they won't believe me that it exists.
It's greater than the sum of its parts because a lot of it is weird or cheesy or bad.
It is so fucking weird, cheesy, and bad, and yet also I enjoyed it very, very much.
Yeah.
And I particularly thought Zoe Saldana just, she is doing what she needs to do. Like, I've not seen her in this good of a role maybe ever. And I can tell how much she appreciates the opportunity to act. And I really liked her having it. And then also, I love the choreography. It's the same guy who did Suspiria, the remake, and you can tell. And I just was into it as a musical.
This
weird,
is a story about
weird fucking movie, though. Like, I can't actually recommend it.
Here, watch me explain it to someone.
Yeah.
This is a movie about a Mexican drug kingpin who wants to transition. So she fakes their own death, go to Europe, begin a new life as a woman, decide that they miss their wife and children too much, return to Mexico in disguise as themselves but a woman and say they're a cousin of the person and try to maintain this house of cards where if anyone figures out that they're the living drug kingpin, everyone's gonna get killed, but she keeps getting closer and closer to her family. Also, it's a musical.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only part that I knew that was. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's a musical.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's Fix Your Hearts or Die, a literal threat.
The cast is great. The songs are kind of bad.
Yeah, I but it's one of those movies where I'm like, as not good as this is, boy, did I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, another one that you should probably be fully aware and awake to watch, like pay attention to. Like,
well, I actually put it on thinking this will be something I can watch until I get bored with it and then was riveted.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, have either of you watched Nickel Boys yet?
No.
Movie of the year.
Oh.
Holy shit.
I'm going to bump it up my to watch list.
Yeah. I don't know what it says about me or our moment in time that my two favorite movies so far this year have perspective gimmicks, because this movie is all first person perspective.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
It's incredible. I'll wait until you see it. We can talk about it more. I mean, I also don't know when it is going to be available to the hoi polloi.
Yeah.
But I'm shaking thinking about it right now. It's just so fucking good.
I got to watch it.
Yeah.
She's not lying. I noticed the Robin was shaky. I was like, are you okay? You just love Nickel Boys.
I love Nickel Boys. And the other movie I watched, The Room Next Door, which is Pedro Almodovar's first feature in the English language with Tilda Swinton and Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, this is catnip for me.
Yeah.
That is my kind of movie. I actually watched it the same night I watched Emilia Perez. And I had this moment of like, is this not working as well as Almodovar normally does for me because I don't have the distance of it being in a different language?
Oh, that's interesting.
I did catch the rhythm of it eventually, but it took some time. And then I felt like when I was watching Emilia Perez, I was like, yes, ridiculous things in Spanish work a little bit better for me because I have that I don't speak this language detachment.
Right.
It's an exciting time of year. There's good stuff at the theaters, and there's a lot of good stuff coming, everybody. So go to the movies.
But screener anxiety. It's real. I feel like I need to see everything.
You don't.
Yeah.
I mean, what I had that for a few years.
I'm sure you did.
And then I remembered the point is not for me to see all of the movies that other people are talking about, especially in a nomination phase. The point is to look at what I have watched over the course of the year and go, from what I chose to watch, this is the best stuff.
Right.
Then when there are nominations, you can try to watch everything that's nominated. But at this point, you know, you should represent the movies that you have been drawn to over the course of the year. So it's time for our holiday episode. It's not that we're all Grinches.
I am.
We are. It's that there are way fewer holiday number ones than there are Halloween number ones or pretty much any other time of year you can name.
And some of them are Terrifier 3. It basically feels like we are about to step into a minefield.
I know. I'm not feeling good about
it. We also vetoed a lot of them. We vetoed the Santa Claus, which is a main one. We vetoed
Four Christmases.
We vetoed Four Christmases.
But that came up in like the middle of the year. I was like, I'm not doing this.
We vetoed How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is not good, but fascinating. I vetoed New Year's Eve because that movie's terrible.
You really vetoed How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Robin did it.
The Jim Carrey one?
I don't remember doing that, but I stand by it.
We have 13 movies.
Oh, man.
So use your vetoes wisely, because... to consider how many more years we'll be doing. We'll just make something up. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's our show. Do what we want.
We can do July and Christmas and make a list of like beach movies.
Ooh.
Well, it's revenge for Robin's sins because it landed on the Santa Claus 2.
Oh, Jesus. Hell.
You can veto it.
Veto.
But if you do, we might get stuck with Terrifier 3.
I didn't see that. Well,
the word veto did come out of Camila's mouth.
I mean, I'm willing to watch Terrifier 3, I don't think there's a single movie on this list I'd be least interested. Maybe Shazam, and Shazam is good. I just don't feel like it.
Yeah, I don't want to watch. It's just veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
I will tell you the rest of the list. I will tell everyone the rest of the list. The only things we have left are The Nightmare Before Christmas, Terrifier 3, Babes in Toyland 1962, so not the one with Keanu Reeves. A Christmas Carol 2009, that's the Robert Zemeckis follow-up The Polar Express. Elf, The Grinch, not the original, the animated one with Benedict Cumberbatch. Home Alone 2, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Red 1, the new entry, Santa Claus 2, Scrooge, Shazam, and Lethal Weapon. Are you or are you not vetoing the Santa Claus 2?
I am vetoing the Santa Claus 2.
Exercise my veto, man.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
It's not Terrifier 3.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
It is. 1, 2. It is a Christmas Carol.
So this is my sins. This is me liking Robert Zemeckis is here. And they're like, did you though?
Are you sure? How far are you willing to go with this? This is from 2000. So you remember Robert Zemeckis did Polar Express and everyone was like, weird faces, Uncanny Valley. I don't like this. That didn't stop him. He later did the same thing with A Christmas Carol, the Scrooge, story. In 2009 with Jim Carrey as Scrooge in a fully motion captured movie.
How is the Muppets Christmas Carol not on this list?
Not a number one movie in America.
A bunch of bullshit.
I mean, you can watch it anytime you like, but it could have been better. Could have been a whole lot worse.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't mind this so much. I never saw it.
I feel much happier about watching this than Santa Claus 2.
Carrie Elwes is in it. It's going to be your second Carrie Elwes holiday movie of the year.
I have to do another one in just to make it a smooth trilogy.
Yep.
Well, okay. Christmas Carol 09 is our holiday episode.
That's a rich subject. We could talk about all the other Christmas Carol adaptations.
There's so many. Yeah. There's so many good ones. Before that, let's wrap up our regular programming for the year with this question. Goldfinger hit number one in the U.S. The last weekend of 1964. What was the number one song in America?
Beatles.
Correct.
Ooh.
I want to hold your hand.
No. Very similar. One of the...
P.S. I love you.
Mm-mm.
I feel fine.
That's it.
Ah, nice. Very good.
Take that, Sean Connery, making casual offhand Beatles jokes.
Yeah.
Two of them are going to last longer than you.